just come before you, Lord, with thanksgiving, Lord, knowing that you're the author and the finisher of all things, Lord. You're the beginning and the ending. Lord, you had it all planned out before the foundation of the world. You had it all decided, Lord, just how you wanted it to be. And everything, Lord, is just falling in place according to your plan. We thank you and praise you, Lord. We thank you for revelation. And Lord, we ask you for revelation more every day, every day. May you speak to our hearts now. Bless those that are listening in, those that will, Lord, are coming, those brothers and sisters, Lord, that are listening and partaking, Lord, with us, Lord, of the great feast, this spiritual feast, Lord, coming through the voice of God, that prophet, Lord, that you sent forth in the last days. And we know it came to the time when it wasn't the seventh angel, Lord, but it was you. Lord, you had taken over the vessel, and you began to speak and to reveal and to make known. We thank you and praise you, Father. May you have your way now. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right. We see you. We are happy to be here, and we just thank the Lord for his blessing. We appreciate the songs of worship and praise to his lovely name. And we count every opportunity we have to come together to worship him and praise him. And we know that many times when we go overseas, we come to places where, you know, they just have one or two people, and they seem just as content to worship him. And of course, you know, we love the fellowship, and we love to have a group. And that God knows all things, and his goal is that his word goes forth, and that word, that revelation, is going to go forth in people. It's going to be a life that's being lived in a group of people, and they might be scattered around the world. And so everyone, whether you're here or whether you're listening in or whether you're going to listen in somewhere down the line, God is using every vessel for his to spread this message. And it's not that every one of them are preachers, but it's that every one of them are living a life. They're living a life, and that life is going forth to the world. And so we thank God for that. So now we want to get right into the message tonight. And we're going to start in God's only provided place of worship. And we took for a subject or a subtitle, The Fullness of God's Presence. And so we've been talking about the fullness now for a little bit. And this thought here is, we know what the presence of God is. We know that when we're in the Word, that's God, and that's the presence of God. And when we leave the Word, we leave the presence of God. And that's what the Scripture said that Cain did. He went out of the presence of God because he left the Word of God. And so when you leave the Word of God, you're leaving God. For he is the Word. So, paragraph 40. I believe the church is beginning to hear the message and beginning to understand it. Now, isn't that wonderful? We thank God for that. It's amazing that the revelation can lie within the message for so many years, and then the very messages you listen to, all of a sudden they become real to you. And only God can do that. And the same scriptures that was 2,000 years ago, 3,000 years ago, when God brings the light on them, then they become real. And man can read them, and man can have some type of understanding that God has given for the age, but only that can they have. And they can take that and they can preach it. There's how many scriptures have been preached over thousands and thousands of times, over thousands of years, and then come down to the end time. And then all of a sudden the fullness of it comes, and there's a group of people on the earth to receive it, and to receive it in its fullness of what God had in his mind, what God intended to do. And Brother Branham said it like this, that that which was in part was going to be done. And so if that which is in part is done away with, it's because that it wasn't clear. As they were looking through a glass darkly, they weren't seeing a clear picture. And so you know that yourself. You can look out on a foggy day and you see something and it's not clear. You drove in the fog. You've looked through a glass darkly. You know what that is. And so it's a blurred image. And so you have a little bit, you can have a little bit of details. You can say it's this and this. And then from there you start saying, well, it could be this and it could be that. And that's what they've been saying for thousands of years. And so it's just, I think we might have read it just recently, or we're going to read it here in the future, where Brother Branham was talking about they used to believe that when you died, you went up to heaven. I think we read it last week. And you sat on a cloud and you played a harp. And he said that was the idea, that was a conception that they had before the fullness of the word came into existence. And so we just thank him. We just thank him now that we're moving into another stage, a higher order. But friend, listen, we've got to lay in the presence of the Son. We've got to be ripened. Our faith isn't ripe. Huh? What's faith? It's revelation. Intellectually, we're hearing the message that God has given us and seeing the signs that he showed us and proving it by the Bible. It's there. See? Oh, how the church needs to lay in his presence till it tenders up, you know, and gets sweet in the spirit so that it can bathe down. Sometime in speaking the message, you get harsh and you have to break it in like that because you've got to clench a nail to make it hold. But when the church once gets it, amen. When the church once gets it, see, the elect is called out and separated. See, then in the presence of God. Huh? That elected group, once that revelation becomes a reality to her, see, she's called by it. She's called out of everything else. It's a complete separation from the world, from the churches, from theology, from man-made ideas. She's called out. She's separated, and then in the presence of God. You can't take the world into the presence of God with you. It's a separation. I know it'll be something like the people was there when it takes its rapture. Amen. See, now remember, we're going to have to answer. This is in A Man Running from the Presence of the Lord. And so I just wanted to open that there, talking about his presence. And he's going to mention it as we go along, but I'm taking both sides. I'm taking both sides here instead of just pulling out the point that we're after because that's what he does. And it worked for him. And so I'm just going to just read it. And sometimes I pull it out, and sometimes I take some of it out and skip around it. But sometimes there's some other things that he's saying that is not the main point, but it goes with the main point, and it's good for us. Now remember, we're going to have to answer for it. Remember those who spit on Christ, answer for it. See, when David returned back from his exile, when he was a fugitive, and when he returned back, remember, this fellow fell on his face and cried out for mercy. He spit on David going out. But he was almost ready to bathe his feet with tears when he returned back. And that's what people think. That's what people think. I'm just going to wait. I'm going to wait. I'm going to wait. No, it ain't going to work. And some days those that have pierced Jesus will see it. And those who are piercing him today, Brother Brandon preached that indictment. Those that are piercing him today will see it also. Someday it'll come back. Everything that we do, everything that we say, everything that we think, it's going to come back around. So we must be on the word. Revelations 22. He requires us to keep every word that he has written, every word. And now we know his presence is here. He said, are here, is here, and it's vindicated. We know his presence is here. How do we know that? We're living in it. We're living in it, and it's vindicated. He's vindicated his presence. So we are having it, and we're trusting in this coming week it'll continue to be vindicated among us. The sick will be healed. The great things will be taking place. Now, we don't want the popular idea. We want the truth. See? We don't want to face up to nothing but what God has said is the truth. See? Be sure. Your sins will find you out. If it doesn't here, it's going to catch you somewhere. Now, yes, sir, it will. That's right. So we're not after none of that. But God is vindicating his presence. He's vindicating it. Now, if you're a true Christian, truly called like Jonah was, see, and that's what this message, he talks about Jonah a lot in this message here. And so he said, God has already got your fare paid. Get off that ship going to Tarshish. Anyhow, see, God predestinated you to this life. What did he do? He predestinated you to this eternal life. He predestinated you to this truth. He predestinated you to this covenant. This covenant is not for everybody. This covenant is for the elect. This is for those that he had in his mind before the foundation of the world. Now, God predestinated you to this life. Yes, sir. And if you're a true called child of God, come to Christ. Come into the fullness of him. How much of him? The fullness of him. See? Come into the fullness of his presence. Your way is paid to where? It's paid to Nineveh, not to Tarshish. You're predestinated. See? Jonah was predestinated to go to Nineveh. It didn't matter which direction he went. Didn't matter what he did. God had predestinated him to go to Nineveh. And Jonah was going to Nineveh. Now, it didn't matter if he circled the globe. He was going to Nineveh. That's just all because that's what God predestinated him to do. See, your ship's leaving right now. It's on its road. So there's only one thing to do is get on it. See, if you was like God, you'll never have no peace. And if you was like God, so he talks now about his nephew. And I can't remember his name. It's right on the tip of my tongue. But he says, my little nephew a while ago, about 10 years ago, he's went from pillar to post. And I think he came to Brother Branham with a dream one time. He doesn't tell it here, but he came to him with a dream one time. He said, Brother Branham, what about this and this and this? I've seen this and this and this. And he said, Donovan, he said, you don't need no interpretation for that. He said, your place is down here at the church. And he'd constantly, he was Catholic boy, been in out of the Catholic church and going with the priest and going with all that stuff. And Brother Branham said, God's called you to this. God's called him to this. So what I highlighted there in the blue, there's no way of getting out of it. When God ever takes out after you, huh? Who's going after who now? God takes out after you. He has to draw you. He has to invite you. God has to invite you into this thing. God has to accept you. Brother Branham said, you don't accept him. He accepts you. Well, that does a whole lot with our making a decision, don't it? That Billy Graham was really big on making a decision. You make a decision. The decision has to be his decision. When he makes a decision, then you're in. You're in. No, it don't matter if you're going the wrong direction. You are in. Because he's with you. He's after you. He's going to get you. It's just the way it is. See, when God ever takes out after you, you just might as well give up and go on. That's all. See, remember, God was in the boat. Now, I like this here. He's going to talk about it, say it twice. God was in the boat. Where was Jonah going? He was going the wrong direction, right? But God was in the boat. God was in the storm. God was in the fish. Everywhere he turned, God was there. Praise be to God. See, God is there, and it'll just keep haunting you. You're not going to get away when God's called you. When God has predestinated you and elected you to live this revelation, you're not going to get away from it. You can go try to join the big groups. You can go try to join the theological ideas. You can go try to join anything you want to, but you won't be able to get away. You'll turn them pages trying to agree with them out there, and it'll keep looking you right in the face. And you'll keep trying to deny it, and you can't. You just can't. And it'll drive you crazy till you come to it. Until you surrender to it, you won't have any peace. 128, lay out in the presence of God, then with our hearts, not our hands so much, but our hearts before God, until He has seasoned us through and through like that, with the rays of His glory, and baked into us His goodness, and ripened that which we have got into reality. See? To where we can show others that Jesus Christ lives. Amen. Oh my, we want to believe that. That's what God has for us. That revelation in us is maturing every day. That those around us, not just for our own benefit, not just for the blessing, not just for the enjoyment, not just for the excitement and the thrill that it is to live in Him, but that other people can see it. For God's purpose, that other people can see Christ living in you. And remember, where Jonah went, God was in the boat. Where Jonah went, God was in the storm. And where Jonah went, God was in the fish. And He went on being right along with Jonah until His perfect will was done. That's right. Praise God. And if He's ever after you, you might dodge over here and dodge over there, but you'll be miserable until you come back and do the thing you started out for Him to do in the first place. Amen. That is just exactly what God had in His mind. And every predestinated seed that was in His mind, He calls them. He chose them. He predestinated them. And He has a time, an hour for them to come to this revelation. And when that time comes, you're coming. It don't matter what you think, what you feel like. It don't matter what you're deciding, what your theology is, what your intellect is, what you want to do, what your desire, this flesh wants to do. You're coming. You're going to come. See, don't go run from the presence of God. Face up to it. You believe it's the truth then? See, if it is the truth, it's worth living for. If it's the truth, it's worth dying for. Anything else. If He's ever vindicated it to you that it is the truth, then we can't run from it nowhere. He'll be right there just the same. You can't. Now, I just want you to know this is 1964. So you whatever you're going to try to make your decision and your idea and what you feel like work over the top of this, it ain't going over it. It ain't going over it. This is free moral agency. This is free moral agency. When God chooses you, He's going to bring you to this revelation. Yes, sir. Heavenly Father, as the little stories of experiences, and sometimes they happen for a reason. Oh, they do, don't they? Noah's, Jonah's story happened for a reason. Everyone, they think, going the wrong way. Yeah, God was right there with him. The whole time God was with him. And it's yet as rude as it is, yet we understand it in the language that it happened in. So we thank Thee tonight, Lord, that God can house Himself in us. Amen to that. That's what He wants. That's what He's done. That's what He's doing. God is housing Himself in His bride. We're thankful that there was a propitiation made, the blood of the righteous one, Jesus, who was the fullness of God, the fullness of the Godhead bodily, that He laid down His precious life. Wasn't taken from Him. Huh? You say no, they took him, they scourged him. I mean, they arrested him, they scourged him, they beat him, and then they put him in jail, and then they took him down to Calvary. They made him try to bear that cross that he couldn't. He had been beaten so bad. And then they nailed him to a cross. Now that, in every aspect of that, it looks like he was forced. It looks like they did it to him. He went willingly. No, he could have stopped it at any moment. See? But willingly laid it down that we might enjoy him in the fullness of his presence. He gave himself that we might enjoy him in the fullness of his presence in the Shekinah glory that he lived in. He lived in that glory, and we'll live in that. When we get the world out, we get everything else out, then we live in that same Shekinah glory right now. Right now. See? So that our souls might be sanctified with that blood, that the great Holy Spirit itself could live in us. And we become teachers and prophets and so forth to the people, to those, Lord, who are needy, and gifts of God, God himself manifesting, glowing out of the great gifts of God in the presence of this modern age. Not just, we know that during the Pentecostal time, those gifts were going forth and all of that, but there's another gift, the giver himself. That gift is living alive in the bride. And everything that could be had from God is living in her. There's healing in her. There's salvation in her. There's kindness in her. There's love in her. She is the gift to the world, because Christ is the gift to the world. And it's him that's being manifested. He's the one. So we become teachers. We become prophets. We become everything to the world. He said, when those seals broke open, he said, you are kings and priests. We're not all called to preach in the pulpit, but we're all called to preach a sermon, a life that's lived. And Brother Branham said, a mother is a preacher, and you sisters are preachers one to another, to not to stand there and preach like the world, but that life, and speaking that word on a daily basis as that needs there, as just sometime you're just casually talking and you're not even thinking about, you're not thinking, oh, I'm going to preach to the sister. You're not even thinking about that. You don't even go there. But you're talking and the different things that come up in your conversation, and you're talking about this, and you're putting it on God, and you're saying, I know the word says this, God will do this, he'll do that. It's right there. It's that gift. It's that gift living in you, that's speaking, that's acting out on a daily basis. And this is not a Sunday life. This is a daily life that's living out. See? God himself manifesting, glowing out the great gifts of God in the presence of this modern age. Praise God. Paragraph 103. This is in the oddball, still. So, and the rude expression, Lord, of being a nut. And we know that in this day, that it takes some time when the world gets in a rut, like the church is today, just joining new churches and new denominations. A man who comes forth with the word is considered a nut, an insane person. Boy, you just think this was in 1964. And now, you stand for this revelation now, and you are considered insane. You're considered a nut. And the reality is, the people that believe this are the only ones in their right mind. That's right. Amen. They're the only ones that can see clearly right and wrong. They're the only ones who can see clearly God. They see God unveiled. And they see Satan unveiled. Right. Satan has been revealed in this day. The man of sin has been revealed. And we see him set in the churches and to be worshipped as God. We see it. And as the great apostle Paul, who was trained to be a theologian, a priest, yet he said he became a fool for the glory of God. He forsook his education. And so do we today, Lord. There is people sitting here that's considered crazy because that they're ready to trust God for their healing and for their eternal destination, placing their reputation at stake in worship to Him, thanking Him, praising Him, giving freedom to their spirit to worship God. They're considered crazy. Oh my. Think about that. Read that and just, let's just read it again. Placing their reputation at stake to worship Him, thanking Him, praising Him, giving freedom to their spirit to worship God. They're considered crazy. But through the foolishness of preaching, it pleased God to save them that was savable. Amen. Praise God. God said, I'll give them a sign. I'll be in their flesh. I'll be like them, and they'll be like me. This is in the message, Super Sign. And I don't have the paragraph number there. I was cutting some stuff out around it. And so I didn't bring it in there. And actually, Brother Branham was talking about right here. He was talking about Christmas presents that people had gave him. And I said, I'm gonna take it out. And I said, no, I'm going to leave it there. And I said, I'm going to take it out. I'm going to leave it there. And I finally took it out. But I took it out when I thought, you know what? I think I might just take a service and talk a little bit about Christmas since we're at that time. And I'm going to tell you, I have been so blessed for the last 30 years, maybe 35 years, something like that, that I'm always gone at Christmas. I always get gone at the beginning of the month, and they're just starting to say Merry Christmas. And every year they start sooner and sooner and sooner. And so I get to miss that every year. And so this year, you know, they've already started, and you know, you're saying, you know, you're talking to somebody and you're saying goodbye and say, oh, thank you, and then all of a sudden here it comes. And then you're just like left hanging. Okay. So they're gonna tell you Merry Christmas, and then what do you're gonna say something, or else you're gonna be a rude bird. You're gonna be pretty rude if you don't say something. And so you know, it's just, and I just go by however I feel. If I feel led to say I don't celebrate Christmas, I say it. I tell them, and then that's an opportunity to witness to them. And then if it's we're going, you know, we're separating, and there's not time, I just say you enjoy your holidays, and I just leave it like that. And so, but here, Brother Branham, they gave him some presents. They gave him whatever kind of movie recorder they had back in the day, and something else, and you know, and for him, he had people just leave stuff on his door and on the steps, and but I'm not gonna justify or condemn all that, but I would like to read the quote sometime. And so God said, I'll give them a sign. I'll be in their flesh. I'll be like them, and they'll be like me. He said the angels look over. The angels said to the shepherds, look into the manger and you'll see what I mean. That sign wasn't just for angels. It wasn't just for shepherds. It's for the world. See? It's for the world to see and believe that God dwells in flesh. And we know that's what Christ was. He was God dwelling in flesh. But what did he say when we started up here? He was talking about that he's in the bride. See, I'll be in their flesh. He's not just talking about Christ. He's talking about the flesh of his predestinated seed. So, and through the offering of that flesh, he sanctified our flesh that he might dwell within us. God in you, Christ in you, lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world. See, don't forget this. Keep it in your heart. That's right. But oh, this eternal life, the blessed assurance that Christ lives in us, that his fullness dwells within us, makes us rise and act different. Oh my, this revelation will make you act different. This revelation is the greatest thing that has ever came forth. And we read in the scripture, we read of some miraculous lives. We read of some amazing things. We see the power of God over and over and over again. Amen. And so now this revelation is the fullness of it. And so there's got to be something living today that God is pleased with. There's got to be something that he had in mind to bring forth. See? Because you, it makes us rise and act different. Because you, when you do that, you become a fugitive to the things of the world. See? You become a pilgrim. You're getting away from the world. You are Abraham's seed, see, because we believed on the Lord Jesus Christ and have died to the things of the world, see, and have been raised again in the resurrection of his likeness to walk as Abraham did, see, seeking a city to come, taking God's word and calling everything else contrary to entertain angels in our home like Abraham did. The messengers of God that brought the message. Now, I want to take you right back again to what he has been saying all along. That these works was done in Christ. These works was done in the prophet. And these works is done in the bride. And he's saying here that we entertain angels in our home. And we know that an angel is a messenger. An angel is a messenger. And a messenger is one that has a message. And so we know that that prophet, he was the messenger. And then we know that the ministry of Jesus Christ in this day, in those that are called to preach, they're angels. They're angels that bring forth the revelation, the ministry of Jesus Christ. But it don't stop there. Because every predestinated seed, every member of this body that Christ is living in, that makes you a messenger. That makes you a messenger of this revelation. It makes you one of those angels. We don't put ourselves in that place of the prophet. We know that there was one. And we don't put ourselves in the place of anything great or anything like that. But he said that each member of this body is putting on display the life of Jesus Christ. And so that life of Jesus Christ is the message to the world. And it's living in every single person that God has called to it. See? The messengers of God that brought the message. Oh, what a time. Professing that we don't want no more of the world. We want him and him alone. He is our Savior. See, trying to do God a service. Do you believe that? We're at the end. We're here. The handwriting's on the wall. The second coming is at hand. The bride is being chosen and watered and drawled out. See, now that don't mean drawled out from church. That means drawled out from denominationalism. You must go to church. See, I always think when he says these things, he catches these little things like this. I always think somebody out there is thinking that, or God had him catch it for future people that was going to think like that. See, this is calling out because I don't know if any of you remember, but there was a man who came through here many years ago. And actually there was two. One of them was, I won't call his name, but one of them was the guy who went to Israel and come back. And so we had to ask him to leave. He interrupted the service and carried on and everything. And his thing was that Ichabod was on the church. And that's true. But that's on the organized church. That's not on the spiritual church. The spiritual church is led by the Spirit of God. And then there was another one too. same thing. And so they, you know, if you met in a building, then you were a church, and the Christ was put out of the church. And so, you know, there's always quotes, there's always scripture that you can use for that. And that's what he's correcting right here. Amen. He corrects those very little things like that, that people put their intellect to, and they try to take it in a literal way, and they miss the point that he's making. So you must go to church, but don't join any organization. And so the other one to come, he took some people with him. He took some people with him. They went out to Colorado, and they wouldn't have a church building, but they would meet in homes and have church. But they didn't call it church because they didn't have it in a building. They had it at home. But there was a group of people that come together, and they were reading what the prophet had to say. They were listening to the message. So, you know, I think you missed the point. I think you're missing the whole point. It's not a building. It's not a building. It's what you're doing. It's what kind of worship do you have? What are you worshiping? What are you a part of? What have you joined to? See, you must go to church, but don't join any organization. Jesus went with all the organizations, but he never joined one of them. Did you hear that? Jesus went with all of the organizations, but he never joined one of them. Neither did he side with any of them, no indeedy. But he was among them. Huh? Why? Why was he among them? Because he was a light. And they needed light. They needed light. And that's the same with the bride. God has got a light on the earth today. That's where the light's got to be scattered. See, you heard the old saying, preaching to the choir. If we're just going to sit here and preach to one another, that's okay. I mean, we're getting fed, we're getting built up, we're getting encouraged. But this has got to go out. This has got to go out. You can't put it under a bushel. This has got to go out. There's where the light's got to be scattered. You stay right where you are, scattering the light, see? That's what God's using you for. A hungry-hearted people. Let them know that Jesus Christ is real. See, just the same as he was yesterday, he is today and he will be forever. Amen. And you watch. It's like Brother Branham said 100 times. You go back in Pentecost, you know, the thing was water baptism. He said, you go show them in the scripture, be baptized in the name of the Lord. And so what do? They go ask their pastor. They go see what the pastor says about it, and then they write it off. That's the same thing. They don't want nothing more today. They're going to sit in their church. They're going to, whatever their pastor says, they're not going to do anything else. They're not going to listen to anybody else. They're not going to have anything to do with anybody else. That it's going to sit there. Well, either they don't have any light, or they're not going to scatter their light. And so God knows what they have and what they don't have. But if they're not willing, if you can't scatter your light, if your light can't shine wherever you are, it doesn't mean you join up with them. But it means that they can see Jesus Christ living on the earth today. It's their only opportunity. It's their only opportunity. Trying to do God a service without his will. 334. It is possible a man or a woman with all sincerity trying their best to do God a service and stirred it in the wrong way. Now, if you're refusing to let your light shine, you're refusing to have anything to do with anybody else, you're refusing to, you can be very sincere in that and be wrong. You can be very sincere and you can be very wrong. If God wants to lead you to talk to somebody, but you can't talk to them because you're not allowed to talk to other people, or you think it's wrong if you talk to other people. Somebody's made you think it's wrong for you to talk to other people. See? Trying their best to do God a service, stirred it the wrong way, and with a genuine anointing of the Holy Spirit upon them, This is the part that just makes it hard. It just makes it hard to comprehend. Because they can be preaching right on, and they can be anointed with the Holy Spirit. And this is where it really, we have to walk by revelation. We must walk by revelation. Because that anointing can come on you, and you can go right off with the wrong thing. With the true anointed of the Holy Ghost on you, you can walk right off. With a genuine anointing of the Holy Spirit upon them, but stirred it contrary, see, to God's plan for the age and chaos, the whole thing. See, now if you believe that's the truth, say amen. See, we just read it. Chaos the whole thing by not coming God's provided way to do it. What was Jonah doing? He was going the other way. He didn't want to talk to him. He didn't want to see him. He didn't want nothing to do with him. And God went right after him. And God was in the boat. And God was in the storm. And God was in the fish. And God got him right where God wanted him to be. And Jonah got right in the perfect will of God. And it was none of his doings. It was none of his decision. It was none of his efforts. His effort was the other way. But God brought him right where he wanted him to be. I thank God for that. You can't be lost. You can't be lost. You can't save yourself, and you can't lose yourself. You can't do anything. You are in the hands of God, and God had it in his mind before the foundation of the world, and God is bringing it to pass every day of your life. That's right. And can you do wrong? Yeah, you can do wrong. You can do wrong. You can get in your mind that you want to go do something, and it's not what God wants you to do. It's called iniquity. It's called iniquity when you know what's right and you go do something else. If you're a seed of God, you're going to wake up to it. And you're going to thank God. And you're going to quote David in the Psalms. And you're going to sit down and say, blessed is the man in whom God will not impute iniquity. Because you realize that you've made your mistakes. You realize you made bad decisions. And you realize that the grace of God brought you right back where you were supposed to be. Oh, church, here and across the nation, listen to your humble servant this morning, will you? Look where you were at a few years ago. Think about this. How many few years have gone by and how much changing and changing and changing has gone. Look where you were at a few years ago when this first started. Now look what impersonations has capitalized on it. And great millions and billions of dollars has flown into the organizations. See? Steal away from the Word of God. That's right. We can say the same thing today. We can say the same thing today. And right in this message, that this message at some point in time, it started breaking up. And the revelation started coming. It caused a separation. And it started separating and separating and separating. And the money, there's money in this message. There's much, much money in this message. And that money started flowing to headquarters when the brother made his stand. When he made his stand and he told the people that nobody was allowed to make a book, nobody was allowed to do anything except for headquarters. And when they did that, then the people started sending their money there. It didn't matter. They quit listening to many of them, not all of them. They quit listening to pastors. They quit having pastors. They started sending their money to headquarters, and it's become hundreds of millions of dollars. It has become hundreds of millions of dollars. And that's exactly what happened in the denominations back in the day, where that the gift of God came upon the earth, and it began to go around the world. And what did they do? They knew those men knew that if they could get the prophet there, then the people were going to come. That's right. And if they could get the people to come, now, you know, if you got 10,000 people coming, and he had many meetings bigger than that, and every person only gives $1, $10,000 back then, that was a lot of money. But when you have enough people with money given money, it was big money. And a lot of those men, and that's why several of them got fired, because they kept begging money. And what they weren't doing from the pulpit, they were doing behind his back. They were doing it behind his back. Although he knew it, he didn't always say something unless God told him to say something. See, buildings and organization is not the way God stirs his spirit. In every age, God anoints the word for the age. Every age, the Spirit of God is anointed to bring to pass that. And it's God's way is not organization. He stirs it right into his word to make it live. And if you were ordained from the beginning of the earth to that word, every word will come right on top of the word. If you were what? Ordained from the beginning. If God ordained you from the beginning of the earth to the word, then here you're going to come. You're going to come. Like a human cell. Think about this now. Like a human cell. We'll not have one human cell and the next the cell of a dog and the next the cell of a cat. It will be human cells. And they build one on top of another, on top of another, on top of another. Just like if you were ordained to this, then you're a predestinated seed, you're elect of God, and you're going to receive the word upon the word upon the word upon the word. And that's how it is. See? It won't go from a human cell, and then a cat, and then a dog. It'll be human cells. It's got to have a cell first to start with. Is that right? Say amen. Praise God. There's got to be a seed there. There's got to be a germ of life there first. And when that's there, you're it's done. You're sealed. You were sealed before the foundation of the world. Well, if it's the word, sell to start with. The other word, sells, are ordained to make it a full body. Praise God. And then we see the word coming from Genesis all the way through. It was sell on top of sell on top of sell. The word was coming forth. Don't be children, only in love, but be man in spirit and in judgment. Judge you whether I told you the truth or not. Judge you whether it's the word of God or not. Judge you whether it's the hour we're talking about or not. Judge you whether these things are promised. Now, are they vindicated by things that there's not a human being in the world could do, but it's become so common to us, we're letting it flow right up past us. See, wait, church, wait. Oh, my. Paragraph 337. If there's one in here this morning that doesn't know Jesus Christ, doesn't stand justified this morning, your sins all gone as though you never had sinned, and you want to be that way, because remember, one day, maybe today, maybe in the next 5 minutes, one day the heart's going to stop, and that inside of the inside is going to take its stand in the presence of God. It's going to, all the rest of it's going to fall off. The flesh is going to be done. And that inside of the inside is going to go into the presence of God to be judged according to what you did with this message this morning, according to this message that you see. Huh? He didn't say hear. He said see. He said see. It ain't me. I'm just a mouthpiece. And that's the same thing. It's the message that people see. When they see you, they see God. They see this message, this revelation that came through this mouthpiece. They see it living in a group of people. Like this microphone. It can't say a thing unless I'm talking in it. And neither can I say anything unless God was talking through it. See? But you see, God vindicated that to be the truth. You want to be a real Christian. Amen. Amen. Works is faith expressed. Now we're getting down now. Still got about 15 minutes. Here, watch what he said. Now, that you might understand now, because I preach the scriptures here, as it was in the days of Sodom, so shall it be in the coming of the Son of Man. In the days that the church is being revealed? No. In the days that the Son of Man is being revealed. What is revealed? Made known. That right? Reveal. The day that the Son of Man is being revealed. It'll be a day like Sodom and Gomorrah. Is that right? Look what happened. They had two main messengers down there in Sodom and Gomorrah, because there was a bunch of lukewarm Christians down there. Is that right? And they had two main messengers, now listen close, down in Sodom and Gomorrah preaching. But one of them who stood out here with Abraham's group, that's right, see? They had two men went down to Sodom, but one stayed with Abraham. He said, now, that's the scripture is prophesying in Luke 17 that what happened back there is going to happen in this day. That the same thing that happened there with Abraham, the elect of God, and Lot, the church, the worldly church, the same thing was going to happen today. There was going to be two messengers go down to the worldly church. And there was going to be God himself was going to come down and reveal himself to the elect. Now, that's what happened. God came in flesh and revealed himself to the elect in the days of Sodom and Gomorrah. And so the same thing prophesied to be in this hour. So now, look, we have never in all the history of the church ever had a universal messenger to the church that his name ended in H-A-M, until now, Graham, see, which is six letters, G-R-A-H-A-M. But Abraham's name was spelled A-B-A-A-H-A-M, seven letters. And it goes without, they're just, you can imagine, there was people there that had no clue what he was saying, that didn't catch it at all. But you can be sure there was somebody in that audience that it hit them. H-A-M, Branham, H-A-M, and they screamed out, praise be to God, because they knew what he was saying. God was revealing to them what he was saying, that there was a messenger here, that there was a messenger here that was with the elect. There was a H-A-M with six letters. And there was a H-A-M with seven letters. Yes, William Merriam Branham. 777. See? So the universal church, being the letter of man, six man-made organization, yet has received their messenger. They had a Shankey and a Moody and a Finney and a Knox and a Calvin and so forth, but never a H-A-M. Is that right? But they got it. And he's a messenger sent from God, and he's battering them walls as hard as he can. Get out of here, see? Repent or perish. But remember, the elected, the predestinated, foreordained covenant. The what? The covenant. That eternal covenant. Abraham and his group, they had a covenant in that day, but we got a covenant in this day, the same as they did. And our covenant came when that mighty angel came down from heaven. And when he came down from heaven, he had a rainbow over his head. And Brother Branham said, that was a covenant. And when he comes now in the fullness of the word, and in the fullness of the spirit, in the fullness of the revelation, in the fullness of his presence, in the fullness of time, in the fullness of everything, now he comes forth with a covenant, which is the eternal thoughts of God being displayed, a life being lived out in the elect, in this last day. Praise be to God. The completion of the body. It was the body building. There was the feet back there. There was the legs and the thighs and the chest and the arms and the tongue. And the whole thing was there. But there had to come a time that the fullness, that it would be capped. Praise God. Oh God. See, but remember now, the elected, predestinated, foreordained covenant, Abraham and his group got a messenger too. Watch what he did. He gave them a sign that the time was near for the fire to fall. And now it's fire now we're looking for. Atomic fire. The wrath of God. That's right. And now that messenger did something. He spoke about a woman that he had his back turned to. See? And he told her she was doubting what he was saying. And told her her conditions and what was going to happen. Is that right? Did he say that the Son of Man would reveal himself in the same way? See, in that day, in this day, the Son of Man would reveal himself just like that. There was going to be, while he's revealing himself to the elect, to his servant Abraham, there's going to be a woman behind him who is doubting what he's saying, his prophecy, his the revelation that he's given to Abraham, that he's going to have a son when he's past the age. And now she's doubting, and she laughs. And he reveals to her the secrets of her heart. And he's going to make her, just like he did Jonah, he's going to make her believe it. He's going to make her believe it. It might take 9 months. It might take 9 months. But he's going to make her believe it. Because she was predestinated to believe it. I love it. See? Well, here stands a woman. Let's see. Did he say that the Son of Man would reveal himself in the same way in that day? Well, do you believe that's the truth? Well, here stands a woman. And in the invisible union of the church, the bride to Christ, the invisible union of the bride to Christ, that messenger is here now, which is Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. That in the invisible union, the messenger is Jesus Christ, and he's here now. That's what he's saying. We're just reading what he said. We don't have to do anything. He doesn't say it all. He only speaks through his prophets, see? But the Bible said so. He never does anything, but first he makes it known to his prophets. Amen. He always has done it. He never changes his pattern. And the prophet can only speak if he's true, what God tells him. Is that right? That's true. Now, do you believe he could tell me what's the matter with this woman? Before I even look at her now, do you believe it? Why, she's suffering with cancer. That's right. It's on her breast. She's got a boy on her mind, and he's suffering with a kind of a mental condition, nervous condition and complications. That's right. Do you believe that? And that's true, isn't it? Do you believe now that your faith was saying that, has anchored, that you got it, you're going to have it? Then go, and the Lord Jesus will make you well. See? Now, he's gonna unravel this a little bit in just a minute. See? Do you believe with all your heart? Now, do you believe, without looking at this woman, who's not going to look? Him. He's not going to look. Because he's talking about, as it was in the days of Sodom, he's talking about when Christ was revealing himself to the elect, which that's what the message, he's been revealing himself in the message to the elect, and now there's a woman behind him now, he's not going to look at her, and he's going to reveal to her what is in her heart. See? Now, without looking at this woman, the Lord Jesus can tell me what's her trouble. Now, how many believes that? You know, see, I've never seen, I just seen a skirt. Now, he's telling us the vision, he only seen a skirt. I don't know. I couldn't tell whether it was a man or a woman. But just standing there, I want her to believe. Do you believe, lady? Here, the patient. Do you believe? Raise up your hand if you believe. If you believe with all your heart, you can have that baby that you're asking God for. Praise God. Isn't that the same thing? Did he know this when he was just talking about Sarah, when he was just talking about the woman behind him and revealing the secrets of her? And now he turns right around now and he's revealing to a woman that she's wanting a baby. And this other woman didn't think she could have a baby. This woman wasn't able to have a baby, just like that one wasn't. And now he's telling her, revealing the secrets of her heart. See, you believe? You have faith in God? Now, here, listen to this. Now, that don't heal. That just identified. That's the works that identifies the faith of the presence of God, His Word made manifest. Praise be to God. That's just, you can read that over and over and over, and it gets better every time. See, what it's doing, it's building their faith. What it's doing, it's revealing the presence of God. So if you haven't any doubt, you know, you can be prayed for over and over and over, many times people are, they're just hoping. They're hoping, I'm hoping I'm going to get healed. But when God comes in and lets this happen, and you see the presence of God, then you, how can you doubt? How can you doubt now what God has said? See, this woman is wanting a great thing too. That's not a baby, but she's wanting the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I'll tell you what to do. If you'll get rid of them cigarettes, God will give you the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Go believe it, see? Do you believe? Have you faith in God? See? Now, see, this was on condition now. He said, if you'll get rid of those cigarettes, God will heal you. And I don't know what happened. Somebody told me one time that she didn't get rid of the cigarettes. I don't know. But I don't know who it is. I don't know how many cases was like this. This man standing here now is a man I've never seen in my life. I don't know him. But he's suffering from something wrong in his chest. He had a fall that did that not long ago. He isn't from here. He comes from Arkansas. He's a preacher. Go home and preach the gospel. See? 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 I never seen the man in his face. That's right. Now, there's a woman standing here, and I don't know the woman. I've never seen her in my life. God knows her. If he can reveal what her trouble is or something about it, would you believe? All of you. This is only a work identifying the faith that I have to preach what I told you about tonight. See, God is vindicating his messenger. God is vindicating the message. God is vindicating the revelation. See, and now when these people accept it and believe it, then it is vindicated again. See, and that's what God revealed. And this is the works proving it. This is the works proving it. It proved it at the tent door of Abraham. It's proving it in this day. Now, you have to have faith to get well. That's right. So, I think I'm going to stop right there. The next one ended up being Peregrine's sister. And she was suffering from a headache. And then it goes on. And then there's a little bit of, there's some quotes here that we didn't get to. I pulled them out at the last minute, and I just throwed them at the end of the message. And they're also in the oddball that we had. And Brother Branham is typing God as a diamond, a great diamond, the eternal. And because he visited the diamond mines there in, I believe it was in Durban. And so he brings out some really good points there, and you can read that sometime if you like. But when he talked about it, he said, that diamond, there's nothing beautiful about it. The form of it's nothing. The shape is awkward, all of it. He said, it has to be cut. It has to be cut. And just as Christ was cut, so is the bride. The bride is cut. And then once it's cut, it reflects the light. And it's the most beautiful reflection that you've ever seen. And it'll bring forth those seven colors of the rainbow. That's right. So I think I will read paragraph 108 if you drop down there. See, I hope you see what I mean. The chip from Christ, the gift from Christ, put upon the Bible. Now, what he was talking about when he was talking about the diamonds, he said they use the little chips as they're cutting it. There's some little chips, like little needles. And he said they used to use those to play albums, to play the records. It would be on the phonograph. And that little splinter of diamond It was better than any kind of needle. You could use other things, but it was the best. It gave the best sound. And so that's what he's saying. The chip from Christ, the gift from Christ, put upon the Bible, speaks out the hidden mysteries of God to the believers. He knows the secret of the heart. He knows every person. Do you believe? See, I would not be the diamond saying, "You see what I am?" It's what he came from. See, the diamond is a diamond because he's off of a diamond. Amen? And we believe that God is to be manifested in the last days among his people, to the elected seed, according to the Bible, in the form of a prophet. That's exactly what the word. Not that the man is God, but that the gift is God. See, that's the needle. That's the needle. Praise be to God. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord. We thank you for this great revelation, Lord. We thank you for the voice of God. We thank you for that needle. That needle, Lord, that could come upon the scripture and make it speak, can make it live, Lord. Oh, how blessed we are, Lord. They've waited for hundreds. They waited for thousands of years, Lord, for this voice, for this needle to come forth. Lord, there was many voices. There were many needles that came through the ages, Lord. But yet this is the one that was going to bring the fullness. This is the one that was going to bring you in full view to your people, to your bride, to your wife. Father, we thank you and praise you. And Lord, we just commit ourselves daily to you. May you bless each one now. Lord, may you continue to bless Sister Betty, strengthen her, Lord. Our Sister Rebecca with her. Lord, Sister Evelyn, and Lord, each one. Sister Esther, Lord, we see her coming every week. And Lord, knowing she's so tired, but yet she travels all this way and then travels back. May you bless her and strengthen her, Father. Lord, for little Aspen, Lord, that you would just bless Sister Emily and the children there, Lord, that you would just be with them and provide for them, Lord. As we just commit all to you now, we thank you and praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you so much. Amen.